This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Tackling discrimination in internet access. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. First, the Senate has passed a temporary government funding package, which President Biden is expected to sign, averting a shutdown for now. It gives Congress roughly two more months to figure out a longer-term funding solution. In some parts of the country, broadband internet is either unavailable, extremely slow, or too expensive. Now, the Federal Communications Commission is promising to hold internet providers accountable if they're found to have discriminated against communities based on characteristics such as race and income. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
The Federal Communications Commission has been traveling the country to hear stories about lack of broadband internet access and how it's affected people in all walks of life. Their last meeting was in Topeka, Kansas, where Felicia Welch, with the state's Department for Children and Families, outlined struggles of clients ranging from senior citizens to school children.
The digital inequality affects Kansans of all ages, all races, rural and urban. Parents who are working, if they do not have access to internet, they have to take time off work to enroll their children in school. School enrollment is done online.
The FCC will now have a framework to decide if digital inequality is based on federally protected characteristics. That's a new tool for the agency, which it plans to use to crack down on internet providers, which offer limited to no high-speed internet or charge too much in rural areas and communities historically disadvantaged by practices such as redlining. The National Cable and Telecommunications Association, a trade group, said the new rules were too expansive and claimed authority that Congress had not granted the FCC, such as oversight over discounts, credit checks, and other business practices. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Yesterday's in-person meeting between President Joe Biden and China's President Xi Jinping, their first in a year, ended on a largely positive note. Biden described the 4 hours of talks near San Francisco as their most productive and constructive yet. Xi Jinping said Beijing was ready to be a friend and partner to Washington. Here's the BBC's Helen Humphrey.
The White House said that these conversations were candid and they were also constructive, with agreements for cooperation on a range of issues. Firstly, talking about military-to-military cooperation, perhaps making the world feel like a slightly safer place, particularly bearing in mind some of those close calls that we've seen between U.S. and Chinese military assets, for example, with regards to planes in recent months over the South China Sea. Now, at least, they can pick up the phone army to army and make sure things aren't misinterpreted.
The BBC's Helen Humphrey. President Biden, some hours after that meeting, doubled down on his description of Xi Jinping as a dictator. A spokesperson for China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs called the comment irresponsible.
Thank you. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Veterans develop some unique skills while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces, but those skills sometimes go unrecognized by employers, even as a lot of businesses are still struggling to hire enough workers. This is the subject of new research from consulting firm McKinsey, looking to make it easier for veterans to transition to civilian jobs. Scott Blackburn is a senior partner at McKinsey and co-author of the report. Thanks, Scott, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Obviously, all veterans are not the same. They're not a monolith. But overall, how do veterans do in the job market compared to the rest of the population?
Overall, veterans actually do quite well when you take a look at them. I think most employers understand the value that many veterans bring, right? Great teamwork. They work hard. I think where the problem starts to begin is when you start segmenting the veterans. But I think overall, veterans actually do quite well.
Sliding into a new job can be difficult if you do not have a college degree. And 61% of all veterans do not have one. How does that factor into how things go for them in the job market?
It can be really tough. And I think the employers want to hire veterans, but they don't really understand what their skills necessarily translate to. There's often not a one-to-one direct job transfer. And also, most jobs have some kind of degree requirement. I think approximately 80% of jobs in the U.S.
You mentioned, you know, that many veterans carry a specific skill set. Let's talk about that for a second. I mean, I presume discipline, organization, there are a lot of other traits that probably come out of military service.
Discipline, you know, showing up on time, things like that, like everybody thinks of, you know, great teamwork. But what people don't necessarily realize, if you take the traditional infantrymen, you know, for example, they are operating some extremely high-tech equipment, and they have to become masters of those high-tech pieces of equipment. So they tend to be very tech-savvy.
So what is it about the traditional hiring process that you think needs to change in order for employers to recognize the potential and the skills that come with military service?
So I think it comes in two steps. I think number one is more and more employers, and I think now north of 15 or 16 states are going and removing degree-based hiring and attempting to replace that with skill-based hiring. I think the second step is then translating those skills. You know, some jobs are direct correlations. It could be pilots or aircraft mechanics. But there are other things like the example I mentioned before, where, you know, somebody has other skills that they've developed over the course of the military. And how do you kind of capture that? How do you credential that?
Scott Blackburn is a senior partner at McKinsey and co-author of a new report titled From the Military to the Workforce, How to Leverage Veterans' Skills. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.